story. Ronnie's done her usual fabulous job, so y'all be sure you pick one of those up too. Okay, we are ready to go. I'm going to start by sharing with you my application during, okay, we've got bookmarks, great. My application during the little exercise that we went through. And my application was, okay, wait, that's it. My application came out of the word creation. You know, in the beginning, God created. And I really focused in on that word, and I thought, how do I create? What's the application out of that? And then what I realized was our neighbors just down the way from us were broken into on Sunday. And it was a pretty violent break-in. And the lady is feeling pretty violated. And so I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to create a meal for her to go down and hopefully create some love and some safe space for her. And I am going to make my mother's lasagna. Okay, great. That's a great application. I'm going to do it this week. It's very specific. It's very love action oriented. Okay, now hold on to that because I'm going to do something with it in this next section. Those of you who have printed out the lessons, see the familiar three columns, okay? Those of you who haven't, you will when you print out a lesson. What you will see that's not familiar is a blank page after each lesson. That is our fourth column, if you will. It's on the back of your notebook. We're calling it connections, or you will hear us refer to Holy Spirit space. I want to give you a little background on how we got there. Those of you who've studied with me before know that I am a great believer in flipping. Flipping from the Old Testament to the New Testament, taking a theme, following it all the way through, getting the big picture, getting us out of, you know, where we have our noses stuck in the actual study. And we've done that for years. We did it with digging deeper. Then we've had the journal for several years. And so I just assumed we were going to have the same pattern this year. You can imagine my shock and surprise when God actually had a different plan. When we began praying last fall about what we were going to study this year, it was really clear to everybody that we were supposed to study Genesis. That was shockingly clear to a variety of us. But it also was clear that we were not supposed to have a journal. Now, I have to confess to you, I was internally resistant to that idea, like big time. And finally, God spent all of last year in various and sundry ways saying no to me. And you'll hear more about that later. I had a very still summer because he said no to me a lot. But he said no about the journal, and I finally said, okay, no journal, what? Thinking the great revelation would come. It didn't come. And we wrestled with it all of last year. And then finally, the teaching teams of the day and the evening and the location and all the admin teams got together and we prayed and we did some brainstorming. We threw a bunch of ideas onto the table. And 2 hours later, 5 minutes before we were supposed to leave, we still didn't have an idea. But it is true that the Holy Spirit works in a powerful way through the wisdom of the saints. I'm going to quote her. She doesn't even know this. She probably doesn't remember what she says. But it was an idea that Beth Smith put on the table. And then I think she left. And we all went, well, duh. Of course we knew what we were supposed to do. And what we were supposed to do was allow Holy Spirit space. Non-directed Holy Spirit space. That makes a little. It makes me a little uncomfortable, frankly. But we're doing it. Remember last year, the end of the lecture, the short end of Mark, where the women didn't go and tell? And my comment was, the gospel could have died then, because they didn't go and tell. Well, now, obviously, eventually they did. But all stories die if you don't go and tell. So last April, we had this story theme, and then we looked at the title of our study, Genesis, Tell Me the Story. It's about God's story in the Bible. Duh. The whole theme of storytelling sort of came together. Now, I can hear the gears. Some of you are out there thinking, I'm not a good storyteller. Jan, I'm not a writer. I'm not creative. You're priming yourself to skip this fourth step. I can hear it. Stop. Who has ever been to a reunion? Family, college, high school? Raise your hand. Okay. Who has ever had coffee with a friend? Okay. Who has ever gone out to drink with the girls? All right. There. You're all storytellers. Don't you sit around and just tell stories and exchange information and you talk and you tell stories. We're all storytellers. Why? Because our lives are stories. We have them because God has written them into our lives. Why are stories important? They're very important for a variety of reasons. They are the most effective way of transmitting culture, memory, and history. You probably don't remember any of the data transfer today, but you will remember the stories that were told. They're very powerful. They play a very critical role in our spiritual development. That's why hero stories are important to us. That's why we like the good guy to win at the end. That's why some of us are drawn to dark stories, because they have power. That's why Jesus used them, because they have transformative power. Stories have a way of engaging every aspect of us, our mind, our emotions, our will, our spirits. They wrap up truth for us in a package we can't wait to unwrap, and they show us truth about ourselves in very different ways. They engage us. I have been blessed to come from a long line of wonderful storytellers. My brother is one. I'm sure I'll be quoting him some this year. My grandmother was a wonderful one. You're going to hear a lot about her this year, too. We used to beg her to tell us stories about the food on our plates when we went to spend the night. And she would weave these marvelous creative tales about the mountains that had fire in them. Those were the mashed potatoes, you know, with the melted butter. And the boats that sailed the seas, green beans and gravy, and the dastardly evil enemy that had to be destroyed. Those were the Brussels sprouts, and we had to eat them. Okay? But she also told marvelous stories about her family. And my sense of who I am as a Smith came from her, came from those stories. She wove a generational history and identity for me, very powerful one, through those stories. That's the fourth reason they're so important. It's because stories help us find our true identity and our true purpose in life. And there is no better way to learn your own story than by reading God's story, because He has made our stories part of His. So we find one, we find the other. And then we find we have connections not just to God and to ourselves, but to other people too. So what are we going to do? This Holy Spirit space, okay? For some of us, this is going to be a little uncomfortable. For some of us who come out of a more meditative tradition, this is going to feel familiar. I talked to a friend yesterday morning. She asked me about the study, and I told her what we were doing and kind of how we were doing it about this Holy Spirit space, and she burst out laughing. She said, "You have got to be kidding me, Jan. You are going to try to teach a bunch of Presbyterian women how to follow the Holy Spirit?" And I took offense on all our behalf. I said, You don't know the Lamplighters. They can do this. But it is a step of growth. And it is, in some senses, a leap of faith for us. So we're all going to do it together. We're all going to jump together, okay? It's an invitation to explore your own life. There are going to be rooms in your life that you want to go in and stay in because they're wonderful. There are going to be rooms that you don't want to linger in because they're not so much fun. But it is an invitation to that. If application looks at right now, what you're supposed to do right now, and a little bit ahead, it's like looking through the windshield. Hopefully you're looking forward when you're driving. The connection part is a little bit like looking in the rearview mirror. It's an opportunity to sort of look around and look within in your life and see how God's been working, where He's met you, and make those kinds of connections. So there's a blank page at the end of each lesson. Don't freak out. Some people look at a blank page and go, "Oh my gosh, this is just heaven. I can't wait to get into this blank page." And some people look at it and go, "Oh my gosh, it's a blank page." All right? It's extra space for the part of the story that resonates with you. And this will become easier and clearer once you start doing it. Okay, I promise, because we've been practicing, and that has been true for us. You can fill in this page in any way that you want to. It's important to remember there's no right way and there's no wrong way. It's not expected to be a polished product at all. It's not for publication. You don't get a grade on it. You don't have to share it if you don't want to. It's your story. You control the story in whatever way. It doesn't have to be big and profound. It can be a small story about one moment in time. We're going to see one of those in a little bit. You're going to love it. Some stories will be very neat and tidy because you already know the end. Some stories are going to be messy because you're still in the middle of them. And that's okay. Holy Spirit space is an invitation to live in the unfinished business. All right? Live in the mystery of life with the Spirit. Some of them are happy. Some of them are joyful. Some of them are a little bit darker. You will find all kinds of stories in your life when you start looking. Now, I say this every year, and I mean it every year, but this year I really mean it. Okay? Allow yourself the gift of time. It shouldn't take longer than what you spent on the journal last year. 20 minutes. Some of you spent longer, some of you spent less time, but about that amount of time. And I know for some of you, particularly for those who have small children and very, very busy lives, the idea of 20 minutes in one stretch is daunting. But I encourage you to try to find it, either before they get up in the morning, after they go to bed at night, and set that aside a time. It's going to be like the chocolate, if you're chocoholics, like dark chocolate. Something to be savored. Something not to be rushed through. It's not fast food. It's something to take time with. Give yourself the gift of time because you will be astonished at the blessing of what comes out of this fourth section that we're going to do. We've been practicing, as I said, and I think the leaders would agree that those of us who've been practicing, this is one of the richest, if not the richest, parts of your lesson this year. You need to remember, God's already written your story. You just need to listen to the Spirit and tell the story that God wants you to tell. Do not be surprised if you start out thinking you're going to tell one story, and after you pray, God has you tell a different story. That happened to about 90% of our leaders on our retreat. It was quite astonishing. I know all this sounds a little bit vague at the moment. I promise you it's going to get better as you practice. The Holy Spirit, unfortunately, sometimes doesn't take direction from me, and so he is a little vague. I have felt much of this last year like I was in the fog, not seeing clearly what was ahead, a little bit anxious about taking that next step, kind of groping for direction. But what I have come to realize is the fog is the Holy Spirit. And what he wants is for us to take that step of faith and trust him in the process. And so that's what we're doing with the fourth section. Now, there's a wise saying in writing, show, don't tell. Genesis is going to show us who God is, not tell us who God is. And so we are going to show you one of the stories that one of our leaders did. Is it going to come up? Okay, y'all. It's short. It's less than 3 minutes.